you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew 5, 10.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, March 27th. March is moving right along, 2026. Oh, listening friend, welcome to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and the call to be peacemakers. How did your week turn out? Were you that peacemaker in those conversations, in the activities that you are participating in? Did you bring the love and the fragrance of Christ? Were you a bridge builder? Did you encourage people? We want to be those peacemakers. Well, today we're going to look at Matthew 5:10, that living for righteousness may not always bring peace with others, but it does bring a blessing from God. As we continue in the Beatitudes, in fact, this will be our closing lesson for the past so many weeks, and you can listen to all those programs at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But today we're looking at Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, this is the key part, because of righteousness. You might be a bonehead and you should be persecuted because of things you're doing or saying. But because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to learn what that all means. Following Christ isn't always easy, but it's always worth it. And today we'll talk about what it means to stand firm in your faith, even when it costs you something. So joining us in the studio is a room of friends, and our facilitator, our teacher, our good friend is Pastor Mark Johnson from Calvary Church here in Springfield. We appreciate the time, the effort, the energy that he carves out to be here with us. Our pastors are so busy and so many demands on their lives, and so let's be praying up our pastors that'll be preaching this Sunday. But Pastor Mark has carved out time to be here today, and he's going to walk us through, blessed are those who are persecuted. Oh, and before he divides that, we had a senator or a potential senator in the House a few minutes ago that was with us saying hi. He's a friend of Doug's and a friend of many. Doug serves on our radio board. And so what's happening tomorrow in Springfield?
Thank you, Mark. We are offering a great seminar at the Salvation Army Saturday the 28th from 10:30 to 2 o'clock. If you have not been to the Salvation Army, it's a beautiful facility, and everyone is welcome. So we have a speaker, Lee Thomas, who has written the book, Praying for the Lost Effectively. And he is from Louisiana and coming up here to spend the afternoon with us. So 10:30 on Saturday the 28th. At the Salvation Army facility.
And that's 1600 East Clear Lake Avenue. As you come from the east and you're heading west, it's right as you get into Springfield. It's a beautiful facility. In fact, for many months we held the First Lady Ministry there. It's great accommodations. And this is the author, the speaker, the pastor that I interviewed a month or so back, Lee Thomas. He's going to challenge us all to think through how we can pray for our communities and how you can be instrumental and be used of God to pray for that person that maybe you've had on your heart for many years, but you haven't figured out, how do I pray most effectively for that person? So he has a great book. Those will be available tomorrow, and we hope you'll come out. And it's at the Salvation Army Center, 1600 East Clear Lake Avenue in Springfield. Highly recommend you attending. And we're going to all learn a little more about praying and praying effectively for those loved ones that we care about. All right, Pastor Mark, I know you're biting at the bit to share about blessed are those who are persecuted. But it's interesting that it's for righteousness' sake. It's not just because you're being persecuted, like I said, being a bonehead. It's being persecuted because of your stance maybe on the Lord, or because you hold the Bible as God's inspired word, or because you're living biblically.
You know, Mark, this is a great time for us to just stop and think about persecution. Who's persecuted more than Jesus was? And next week is Good Friday. We'll remember what Jesus went through, paying the price for us. And then it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And I want to just encourage everybody listening, get to church on Easter Sunday. If you're a Christian, reach out to somebody and invite them to go to church with you. If you're not a Christian, go find out what it's all about. Go find a good Bible-believing church and listen to what it's all about. Hear what people are saying and let God speak to your life. Now, we're talking about persecution. And this verse is so, you read it and you kind of go, what? Blessed are the persecuted? Who wants to be persecuted? You know, but God is telling us that there's a blessing coming, something that's kind of good that's going to happen to us when we're persecuted. Now, you alluded a minute ago to the fact that not all persecution is this being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So has anybody in this room ever been persecuted for something that wasn't a spiritual thing, just in life?
I think every one of us has, to some extent, been subject to some kind of bullying or something like that. But the main thing with righteousness is that we have no righteousness of our own. We can't just say that I did this or that and now I'm being persecuted. But in the Bible, it's very clear that righteousness is only of God. And our righteousness is if we're doing things that God wants us to do. And I just was reading in a book by the Voice of the Martyrs, a compilation of people really persecuted for righteousness' sake. These two young women, I believe they were in their 20s, and they felt called from God in Tehran, Iran. They felt called from God to distribute New Testaments at night all throughout the city. Thousands of New Testaments. And they were brought into the most notorious prison, Evin Prison in Iran, where they were kept for many months and subject to brutal persecution. They had the righteousness of God, and God set them free, and then they've come to America. When they did this was 20 years ago. But that's a really great example of God's righteousness. I'd just like to read from this psalm something that clarifies what righteousness really is. This is Psalm 50. 5 and 6. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Of course, the only sacrifice that holds true today is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Our righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ.
You know, I want to just talk to you about this for just a second. Three kinds of persecution. There's unjust persecution, there's just persecution, and we'll talk a little bit more in just a second about there's religious persecution and what happens to us inside of those different things. As we said just a second ago, almost everybody's faced something. You may have gotten made fun of at school for the clothes you wear, or for the way your hair was cut, or for not being as athletic as other people, or not being socially in the same group as some other group. All kinds of just worldly, we get persecuted because of our ethnicity sometimes, or because of race, people may get persecuted. So there's all kinds of places where persecution can happen that is just part of the world. And you know, this scripture is not dealing with that. It's dealing with something else. A number of years ago, a young adult came to me, and he was telling me that he was being persecuted at work because he was a Christian. And so I sat down with him, and we began to talk about it. And I began to ask him about his job, and he said it was kind of in a manufacturing kind of place where he had a task that was a repeatable task that he had to do to keep the line moving. He said, but sometimes the Lord tells me to go witness to someone I work with. So I stop what I'm doing, and I go witness to that person. And he said, essentially, he stopped working to go witness to them. He said, my boss has told me that I have to stop doing that. And I told my boss I had to obey God. Now that sounds noble, doesn't it? But it's false. His boss is paying him to do a job. He's robbing from his boss to not do that job. He could still obey God and be a witness to that other worker. All he had to do is do it on coffee break, or take him out to lunch, or go with him after work. But a Christian does his job. A Christian is conscientious about what his actions say about his witness. So he told me if I keep this up, he's going to fire me. And then he said, this has happened to me before. Well, He's not getting persecuted for righteousness' sake. He's getting persecuted for not being righteous.
Yeah, I think about Jesus's that parable, give to Caesar what is Caesar, looking at the coin. And really, the best workers should be the Christian that works unto the Lord and gives to that employer their best.
Mark, we should be on time. We should be faithful. Mm-hmm. We should come ready to work. We should come with a right attitude and a right spirit. We should do the best we can and have a right spirit in what we do.
Yeah, this is a topic I get kind of passionate about. Not only are you slacking off at work, but there's no cost. It's like, do it on your own time when you're tired and you're done with work. That's when you go and evangelize or share, not when you're supposed to be working. So, yeah, sometimes you're shortchanging not only your employer, but that's dishonest.
Well, now, I'm going to tell you, here's a place where it is righteous persecution. So you're working for some place, and the boss tells you to lie about something, maybe to make a sale, or to refuse to do something and be a part of something that is against your spiritual conviction. And now the boss says, if you don't participate in this activity, if you don't, you know, mislead some way to get the sale made, I hope that doesn't happen to anybody. But if it does, then that's where the Christian has to say, I can't be a part of that. That's not what I should do. And that's where a person can be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing what is righteous. So you may get cut out because you don't go to a party with the group, or you want to go home and be with your family. There's a lot of things. In every way, we need to carry the character of Christ and be a great worker, a kind classmate, not arrogant. So listen to the rest of this verse, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we do the right thing, we can be persecuted. We just heard the story about these women in Iran who were trying to do the right thing. And God was good to them, and they got out of that country, and they were safe. Many people have not faced that kind of freedom. Many people have faced the ultimate price on this earth to live righteously, to say the righteous thing, to do what is true to the kingdom of God. But we must be wise in how we lay those things out and judge ourselves righteously. Am I being persecuted for being righteous, or am I being persecuted for being stubborn? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Am I being persecuted for being righteous, or am I being persecuted for not getting my job done? Mm-hmm. Am I being persecuted for being righteous, or am I being persecuted because I was mean to somebody? What's happening to me? Or do I need to, you know, smooth my life out a little bit and be a little more cautious in how I talk? Do I need to learn from things? Because this persecution isn't righteous persecution. It's just a kickback from me being unrighteous, from me not doing the right thing.
And those Iranian women that Huey referenced, there was a cost. They were violated and beat up and abused and had to tolerate horrendous, terrible things. So oftentimes there can be a cost. So just because you follow Jesus and are in the center of his will doesn't mean that things are going to go smoothly or easy, or there won't be this persecution that could even cause death.
Mark, when God was speaking to Ananias and saying, go talk to Saul who had become Paul, and Ananias didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was attacking the church. So here's this persecutor of the church, and God has met him on the Damascus Road, and now he says to Ananias, go talk to him. And Ananias is like, whoa, God.
Anyone but him.
Yeah, I don't think I want to go talk to that guy.
Let me remind you of what you're not thinking about, or what you've forgotten, God.
Yes, exactly. And what does God say to Ananias? He says to him, I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. Sometimes the Christian suffers something for Christ's name's sake. I have a good friend, and he was someplace one night as a young man, and a guy witnessed to him. And the guy looked at him and said, he goes, I can tell you're high, aren't you? And my friend said, yes, I am. And he witnessed to him. And he just lit into this guy, told him off. Don't ever talk to me like that. I don't know who you are. You don't have any right to talk to me. Just read it to him. But God planted a seed in my friend's heart. And by that next weekend, another person talked to him and led him to Christ. But it all started back with this other guy that he never met and never saw again. That guy never knew that the way he got treated was part of the brought conviction upon this guy that would eventually open his heart to the gospel. And now, 40, 50 years later, he's still living for God. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy that got persecuted in that moment didn't know that what he suffered, the embarrassment he may have suffered, the ridicule he suffered, was for Christ's name's sake. Mm-hmm. We don't know sometimes what the outcome is. Mm-hmm. We just have to be faithful.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Listening friend, as you're heading to work today, or maybe there's some healthy conviction, you haven't taken maybe a stance, a biblical stance on a topic or a situation, or in that conversation, that lunchroom talk that's maybe bordering on sinful, I don't know, you know, bordering on things that shouldn't be said, and you just kind of accept it, and you don't say, you know what, as we mentioned a little bit last week, you might want to confront it, or why are we talking about this subject or that individual, because you don't want to be embarrassed. Well, maybe today you'll think a little more about, you might be persecuted a little, and it might sting or it might hurt, but it's the righteous thing to do, it's the thing that God wants to do, and that's how he'll work in and through you.
Mark, I read a book recently from a pastor I happen to know personally, and he's a great pastor, a great leader, retired now. And in the book, he told us about a time when he was a young pastor, and he had made a moral stand in his community. There was something the community was wanting to do, and he had publicly stood against it. And he came under great ridicule. It was something that would happen in the city that people thought would make them a lot of money, that would build business there, but he thought it was an immoral thing. So he became under attack by many community leaders, by many people in the city. He got calls threatening his life. He got calls threatening his wife's life. People did stuff to his property. They attacked it and were destructive to his property. It went on and on for a time, but he had a mentor. His mentor was a guy that many of you are listening and in this room will recognize this name. His mentor was a guy named Leonard Ravenhill, a great writer about revival and righteousness. And he wrote his friend, he wrote his mentor, who lived in another state, and just boo-hooed all the things going on in his life. And he said to him, maybe I should just leave this city, maybe I've ruined, maybe I don't even know if I should be in ministry anymore, and just really poured out all of the angst that was in his heart about the things he was going through from being persecuted. And he said, Leonard Ravenhill wrote him back a letter. He got it in a few days, and he called him by name, and he said, my wife and I were sitting here at breakfast talking about you, about the great persecution you are facing. It seems to us like no one in history of the church has faced this great of a test like you are facing right now. Of all the saints who've ever walked on the earth, you are facing the most extreme difficulty. P.S. Don't ever write me a letter like this again. And he's saying to him, in other words, grow up.
Yeah.
And he said, that just kind of slapped me in the face to realize, yeah, I'm getting persecuted for doing the right thing. But isn't that...
means you're doing the right thing.
That's the point. I'm doing the right thing. Yeah. And the world's going to resist that sometimes.
Amen.
So we have to think about this as we walk through life. So let me share this with you. What happens to the mature Christian when they're persecuted for righteousness' sake? What happens to the immature one? The immature Christian begins to say, woe is me. They begin to feel sorry for themselves. They begin to get beat up by it. They begin to withdraw from making any kind of righteous stand. They pull away from everything. But the righteous Christian understands this is the course of life. God tells us we're going to suffer if we do what's righteous sometimes, if we won't participate in the drunkenness at work or some other thing. There will come some persecution for that. But the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God gives the righteous person strength. If you ever really want to read about that, pick up a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I stand in awe when I read that book of people over the centuries who sacrificed their lives, their families, all of their properties. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews when it talks about all these persecuted saints, and it talks about them this way. Listen to what it says. The world was not worthy of them. Not worthy of them because they stood the test of persecution. So as we stand that test, some of the things these people face in Fox's Book of Martyrs, no man could face without the strength of God in them. No one could walk through that without God giving them strength in their spirit. So one, if you'll listen, call out to God, God, I'm being persecuted for your name's sake, he's going to give you strength. He's going to give you wisdom what to do.
Amen.
And second of all, as you stand faithful, Jesus makes us a promise.
Amen.
Your reward in heaven will be great.
Amen. Amen.
God's going to take note on that day. You're one of my persecuted ones. And he's going to take note of what you've walked through for his name's sake.
Oh, listening friend, I hope you're going to have that eternal perspective. Those, the Fox martyrs, those women that served in Iran, maybe you today, wherever you're at, have that eternal perspective. We're made for heaven. So there's going to be difficulties, challenges, trials, persecution here on earth. But stand firm because the Lord will be with you. Oh, listening friend, today's reminder from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 is both sobering and encouraging. When we face difficulties or opposition for following Christ, we're not alone and we're not without hope. Jesus reminds us that there is blessing, purpose, and an eternal reward for those who remain faithful. Stand strong, take heart, and remember, God sees, God knows, and God blesses. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen to the program at any time. Then don't forget tomorrow at 10:30 to 2 p.m. at the Salvation Army Community Center, 1600 East Clear Lake Avenue in Springfield. There's a special gathering. Author Lee Thomas, I had him on a program a month or so back, about prayer and praying for those that are lost, those that haven't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It'll be a great gathering. I hope you can come out. It's free. You can pick up his book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. Meet Lee Thomas and a bunch of great friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and hope to see you tomorrow in Springfield.